Welcome to Moments of Meditation from the First Baptist Church of Plymouth, Connecticut. The meditation, entitled The Roman Road, is presented by the Reverend Richard J. Dion.
At this time, our Old Testament readings, and I've selected several this week in order to share the message I have about the Roman's Road. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Declare to us, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from that time forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign wisely as king, and will administer justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. The Lord our righteousness, or Jehovah Tsidkenu, for those that might know a little bit of Hebrew there. And let's look next at Daniel. Chapter 2, Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will shatter all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself stand forever. It will stand forever. May God add blessings to his word as it has been spoken to you here this morning. And I trust you followed me there. Today's message, I'd like to talk to you, of course, I want to take you down what I call the Roman's Road. The Roman's Road. I was scratching my head and wondering, what word would I bring to you here this morning, asking the Lord, you know, what is it he would have me to share? And I wanted to start and begin the book of Romans and begin to share with you from the book of Romans, because I believe the book of Romans is just full of great doctrine for each of us to know and understand, the words that we can live by, an understanding of the fullness of the gospel that is before us, that we might live pleasing to the Lord. As we started in the book of Romans chapter 1, we read Romans 1 through 7. I want to dissect this, and Paul, who is a servant of Jesus Christ, is writing to the Roman church in order to set forth a precedent, because there were those who didn't know and understand all that Paul was preaching, the gospel that Paul was proclaiming. There was some a little bit of dissolution, if you would, of what Paul was preaching and proclaiming. And so Paul here writes in order to set the record straight, that the believers would know where he was coming from and exactly what it was he was proclaiming. And those words that Paul writes are very important for us even today, and how we live and how we look at salvation. And to see salvation from a manner and a means with eyes, see, we need to be kingdom-minded, not just earthly-minded. We need to be kingdom-minded, as was Paul. He was kingdom-minded. Now, let's look at verse 1. Paul, he's a first here, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle. Paul was an apostle, as we know, as we learn No, I spoke of the apostles earlier, but Paul was also an apostle because he had firsthand seen the Lord Jesus Christ been knocked on the road to Damascus. He was knocked down on the road and saw great light, and the Lord spoke to him, as we know. Set apart for the gospel of God, the good news of God. God has good news. He has good news today. And that same good news is that you can be saved. You can know salvation without a doubt. You can know eternal life, which God gives, which only God can give. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets. And I looked at some of the prophets in the scriptures here. It says in the scriptures, in the mouth of two or more witnesses, let a thing be established. So it is established through Isaiah, through Jeremiah, through Daniel, that same word, that this kingdom would come, this unshakable kingdom would come. And it came to us through the person of Jesus Christ, spoken about beforehand in the Holy Scriptures. So Paul leans heavily upon the Old Testament as he writes this message to the Romans. He's totally relying upon the scriptures that were given, that were God inspired, God breathed. Okay? And this was hundreds of years before Paul's time. Hundreds of years before his time. And yet these things came to pass. And so Paul wants us to understand that and to understand the foundation with which that we have this hope in us regarding his son, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, as we know, who was a descendant of David according to the flesh. So it's remarkable as you read of the lineage of Christ through both sides of the family, through Mary, through Joseph, and yet you see he was a descendant through the flesh, a descendant of David, which was spoken about and written about long ago. The chances of all these things happening at the rate that they happened, and when they happened, it was phenomenal. It's astronomical that these things would come to pass, but they did. And who through the spirit of holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, were called to live a life of holiness, not a life of just, you know, free will. Let's just do what you want to do. But God calls us to holiness, not a holiness that we work of our own, mind you, not a holiness that we, you know, wear an outward appearance of holiness, but an inward work of the Holy Spirit in us that happens as we, by faith in Christ Jesus, we by faith receive the gift of God, the gift of his righteousness, and he brings to us holiness in which we are called to walk in. And who through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God. Do not neglect the power of God in our lives, in our salvation. This is, Paul is talking to the whole church. And this, I believe, is a word present for today, because God's word is infinite. God's word is eternal. God's word is for today. This same word which was spoken to them is spoken to you and I today, declaring how we ought to live a life that is pleasing unto him, who through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Think about that. If Christ is not resurrected, we are men most miserable. We are men most miserable. We have no hope. But because of the resurrection of the living, risen Christ, by the power of holiness, by the power of his mercies, he brings to us new life. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Remember, he's Lord. He's Lord. He's not just another prophet. He's not just another man. He's the only one. The one and only way, the truth, the life. By him, no man comes to the, without him, no man comes to the Father. But through him and through him alone, we can know salvation. You see, he paved the way. Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we might be made what? The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, see, folks, a lot of us are living, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. But I want to correct that today. I want us to understand what God has paid for each of us. And as we look at that, as we understand that, we, you know, he is Lord, correct? He is Lord. Verse 5, through him and on behalf of his name, we received grace and apostleship to call all those among the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. Obedience that comes from faith. You and I are also called to live by faith, and we walk in obedience to that faith. The faith which says Jesus Christ is Lord. Faith that says Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Faith that says I can walk in holiness today. Without spot, without wrinkle. How? You know, as we believe by faith in what the finished work of Jesus Christ upon that cross, to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. You see, we belong to him. We have been bought with a price. And it says, therefore, glorify your heavenly Father, glorify your Father which is in heaven, as you live out this walk, as you live out this faith, as you live out this salvation, which has been freely given to us. You see, no man can earn this salvation. You can't work enough. You can't give enough to earn your salvation or mine. I can't do it. Impossible. If I could render the works of my hands and everything that I do and give all that I have, I could not earn the salvation which was given to me through Christ Jesus our Lord. And the most important, see, we're not called to be sinners saved by grace. We're called to be saints. Called to be saints. In other words, spotless before him, walk in holiness and newness of life. How do we do that? We do it by faith. We don't do it by trying to prove ourselves to God. We do it by faith, saying that what Christ has done was enough. It was enough to pay the penalty of my sin. And now I come to him in faith, believing. How can I boldly go before the throne room of grace? Because I know what the price Christ has paid. We should belittle that price by adding our works to it. You see, when Jesus said, "It is finished," he accomplished it. He finished it. He fulfilled it. And all we are called to do is walk in that righteousness of faith. Now, it doesn't mean that we won't mess up. How many of you have ever messed up? I'd be the first to admit it. I've messed up. I've blown it. I've made a mistake. You see, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, who is ever interceding for us. And if we confess with our mouth, if we confess with our mouth the things that we've done wrong, if we've blown it, Lord, forgive me. You know, we can come to him. Now he cleanses us each and every time. But when he did it, he finished it. That work is finished. That work is finished. And by faith we walk. By faith we live. By faith we do what it is we do. You see, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. How could you say that? Because his word says it. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You see, that's why we have to come to him through Christ Jesus. You see, the Heavenly Father sees us. He sees us through that blood. He sees us through that sacrifice. He sees us through the one who gave his life for us, laid it all down that we might have life. And that what? More abundantly. So he calls us to grace. You see, grace is, I like to refer to it as God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. I don't deserve it. I could never earn it. But he gave it faithfully, truthfully. He gave everything that I might have life and that more abundantly. So he said, you know, when he died upon that cross and he said, it is finished, he accomplished the work of salvation for each one of us. But it is up to each one individually to repent, to turn away from things we know that are wrong, to repent and to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, believing, trusting, and resting in his finished work, that was enough to pay the penalty for my sin. You see, anything less, that we add to that is makes it null and void. But I do the things I do because I am saved. Because I know the finished work of Christ. Because I know the person of Jesus Christ. Because I know the person of the Holy Spirit who comes and dwells within me. His promised Spirit. Holy Spirit that comes and dwells in me. Now by faith, I walk that out and I live that life of faith where God is able to accomplish his will. And you see, Paul here is being kingdom minded, not earthly minded. And there's a difference. You see, because when we walk in our earthly mind, we say, I don't measure up. I can't make it. I don't know if I'm good enough for God. What am I trusting in when I say things like that? I'm trusting in myself and not in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we can't add to his finished work. It's finished. Before the foundations of the world, Christ was crucified. It was in the Heavenly Father's plan that Christ would be crucified for you and I and pave the way of salvation for us through his shed blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, as I said. But because of it, and now I walk that walk by faith. See, we've got to change our stinking thinking, as I like to put it. We've got to change our stinking thinking. And as we go on this Romans road, as we look further in Romans, as we trust in the hand of God to bring to us that glorious salvation. And Paul is writing here to the Romans to set the record straight. And I want us to set the record straight. You cannot earn your salvation. You do not deserve salvation. No man in this entire world deserves salvation. But Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And guess what? He's still doing the same thing today. And he wants us to know and to understand the fullness that is only for him. Do you agree? Can I get an amen? How many are... And so that life that we're living, the life that you're living your life out thinking, well, what purpose is my life? Really, Lord, I don't do this very much. But when you've been called to salvation, when you've been called to walk in the life of Christ, you've been called to proclaim the same gospel over and over again, you and I, again and again and again, telling others, because you know what? It's about his kingdom. His kingdom come, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven, as it is in heaven, on earth. You see, and we have to change our mindset a lot of times that robs us of the fullness that says, I walk in holiness to the Lord. I walk in faithfulness to Him because of what? Because of what He has done. I'm not called to be a sinner saved by grace. I'm called to be a saint. A saint of God in heaven above, we know that no unholy thing can enter into heaven, right? So now, as you have this mindset in you as it is in heaven, let it be here upon the earth. Now walk in the fullness thereof. Who am I trusting in? Trusting in what Christ has done and not my good works. Now, it doesn't mean that I have a right to walk in foolishness and in sin. You know, that's why He gives the Holy Spirit to bring conviction. When we know we're wrong, we know where we need to make it right. For him that knows to do right and does it not, to him it is sin. Okay? So each one of us have to reckon before the Lord in what it is we're doing. Because he knows the motives and the intents of the heart. And what did he say? Of the heart of man, for it is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Desperately wicked. And yet, what Christ has done to bring us to salvation, sure. Who believes that the blood of Christ cleanses from all unrighteousness? Who believes that here today? You believe that? All unrighteousness. And if he does that, if he does exactly that, who am I to say that he cannot cleanse me? Who am I to say that I'm not enough? I'm saying my boasting is in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done and what he has come to do. And now by faith, I live this life. I live this life as a saint of God. Not as one that is need be downcast, downtrodden, but I live by the faith of the Son of God because I know what he's accomplished. I know what he's done. And by his stripes, I'm even healed. I can claim healing and wholeness over this body because this body has to come into alignment with the kingdom of God. Because what he's purchased, what the purchase of the Son of God, what he gave. You see, now I can walk, and some people say, well, you know, you're talking about, you know, you're a little bit of hyper faith there, don't you think? Well, let's read the word. Are we going to live according to this word? Are we not? We're proclaiming Jesus Christ is Lord. Is he not Lord over sickness? Is he not Lord over death? Is he not Lord over these things in our lives? So we must come to a place where we allow him lordship in our lives. And we take ourselves off that throne room and we put him on the throne room of our heart, allowing every decision that we make to be pleasing unto him. A walk of faith, a life of faith. Every decision I'm making is one of faith, trusting in what Christ has done to complete that work. And now I come to him, I align myself with his word. It's not enough just to say, well, I believe you, Lord. And then the next time I go outside the church and say, oh, I messed this up. He knows. He knows. If I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. So as we trust his hand, the finished work of the cross, and what's he do? He comes to our heart. Why? Because he's looking for a relationship. He's looking to build that relationship with you. And he sent forth his Holy Spirit, which dwells in you. As we by faith trust in his hand, as we by faith repent of our ways and trust in his hand to bring us to a place that is pleasing to him. Now I walk by faith. I've got to walk the rest of my days in faith. I've got to trust God that he knows my beginning from my end. He knows where I'm going. He knows what I'm set for. I've been appointed. You know, he knows the beginning from the ending. I don't. So I need to make certain that all that I do is in alignment with his word and walking in faith. When I give in the offering, and I give my first fruits, when I give my tithe, my offering, I give as unto the Lord, not as unto man. I'm not looking for praises from men. I'm looking for favor from my heavenly Father. You see, when I honor God's word and I honor his way, it's giving the money is nothing. It doesn't bother me. It's a joy and it's a rejoicing that I have in heart to know that God is doing what only he can do. You see, I when I sow that seed, I sow it into the kingdom of God, and I allow the work of God to manifest himself through me, through the gifts that I have brought to him, because I trust in his word, called to be saints, because I want to build not my kingdom, but his kingdom. I hope that somehow the world can hear has certainly challenged you in the life that you live and walk before the living, risen Savior, because he loves each one of us wholeheartedly. He loves you so much. He loves you more than anybody else. Nobody will ever love you more. Nobody will ever love you more. Not your mama, not your papa. Nobody will ever love you more. But he loves you with an everlasting love. That's why he laid down his life. And he calls us to live a life of faith. Without faith, impossible to please him. So I conclude this message for today, knowing that by the prophets it was spoken about. By the prophets it was declared. By the prophets long ago that this would happen. And it happened just as they said it would. And now today, Holy Spirit rules and reigns in our lives as we allow him to lead us, to guide us, to direct us in the life that we live. Called to live by faith of the finished work of the Son of God. Because without that, but because of that, I've got everything. You see, this world was made for me. That's kind of proud and boastful, don't you think? No, it was made just for me. Because I trust his hand. I trust his hand. And I'm his favorite, I said. Why? Because I know how much he loves me. And I'm going to walk that out. And I'm going to find his favor at every step I turn. Because I know in what he has done. And I rejoice in it. So I challenge each of us today, to as we look in at the book of Romans, those that are loved by God, called to be saints, everyone called to be saints. Grace he bids and peace to you from God our Father, the Father, Heavenly Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Lord. 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 Something for us to remember. And allow Holy Spirit of God to work in us, to do his bidding. The Holy Spirit of God is a person. He's not just an ethereal, if you would. He's somebody you can talk to with and share your innermost thoughts. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now I walk with him. Now I walk in fellowship. When I walk in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, I walk in fellowship with the Son. I walk in fellowship with the Heavenly Father by his Spirit. You see, that's why we're called to be led by his Spirit and not by our flesh man, which we'll talk about later in the book of Romans, because the flesh bringeth forth death. Okay? You've seen that. The flesh bringeth forth death. But as we walk by the Spirit of the living God, we'll know that life. And he calls us to life abundant. Not just, oh, I hope so, I think so, maybe so, I think so. It's absolutely so. You see, we're called to live a life of faith. Can you say amen?
You have heard Moments of Meditation from the First Baptist Church of Plymouth, Connecticut. The meditation, entitled The Roman Road, was presented by the Reverend Richard J. Dion. For more information, call the church office at 860-283-6181 or email the church at fbcp24@gmail.com. We wish you blessings on your day.